The Tasks of Aphrodite. With her revenge meted out, Psyche had the rest of her life to consider. Every waking moment was filled with the love and longing she felt for Eros, and with the pangs of misery that stabbed her, knowing she was doomed never to see him again. Eros, meanwhile, lay in a secret chamber, racked by the agony of the wound on his shoulder. You or I could endure with ease the slight nuisance of a lamp oil burn, but for Eros, immortal though he was, this was a hurt inflicted by the one he loved. Such wounds take a very long time to heal, if indeed they ever do. With Eros indisposed, the world began to suffer. Youths and maidens stopped falling in love. There were no marriages. The people began to murmur and grumble. Unhappy prayers were raised to Aphrodite. When she heard them and learned that Eros was hiding away and neglecting his duties, she became vexed. The news that a mortal girl had stolen her son's heart and caused him such harm turned her vexation to anger. But when she discovered that it was the very same mortal girl that she had once commanded Eros to humiliate, she grew livid. How could her plan to make Psyche fall in love with a pig have backfired so terribly? Well, this time she would personally and conclusively ensure the girl's downfall. Through enchantments that she did not know were being worked upon her, Psyche found herself knocking one day on a great palace door. Terrible creatures pulled her in by the hair and cast her into a dungeon. Aphrodite herself visited her, bringing sacks of wheat, barley, millet, poppy seed, chickpeas, lentils, and beans, which she emptied onto the stone floor and stirred together. "If you want your freedom," she said, "separate out all the different grains and seeds and sort them into their own heaps. Finish this task before next sunrise, and I will free you." With a laugh that, unbecomingly for a goddess of love and beauty, fell somewhere between a cackle and a screech, Aphrodite left, slamming the cell door behind her. Psyche fell sobbing to the floor. It would be impossible to separate those seeds, even if she had a month to do it. Just then, an ant, making its way across the flagstones, was engulfed by a hot, salt tear falling from Psyche's cheek. "Watch out!" he cried angrily. "It may be a little tear to you, but it's a deluge to me." "I'm so sorry," said Psyche. "I'm afraid I didn't see you. My misery got the better of me."
"What misery can be so great that it causes you to go about half-drowning honest ants?"
Psyche explained her plight, and the ant, who was of an obliging and forgiving nature, offered to help. With a cry inaudible to human ears, he summoned his great family of brothers and sisters, and together they set about sorting the seeds. With the tears drying on her cheeks, Psyche watched in amazement as 10,000 cheerful ants shuttled and scuttled back and forth, sifting and separating the seeds with military precision. Well before rosy-fingered Eos had cast open the gates of dawn, the job was done, and 7 neat and perfect piles awaited Aphrodite's inspection. The frustrated fury of the goddess was something to behold. Another impossible chore was instantly devised. "You see the grove yonder on the other side of the river?"
said Aphrodite, yanking Psyche by the hair and forcing her to look out of the window. "There are sheep there, grazing and wandering unguarded, special sheep, with fleeces of gold. Go there at once and bring me back a tuft of their wool." Psyche made her way out to the grove, willingly enough, but with no intention of carrying out this second task. She resolved to use her freedom to escape not just the prison of Aphrodite's hateful curse, but the prison of hateful life itself. She would throw herself into the river and drown. But as she stood on the bank, breathing hard and summoning up the courage to dive in, one of the reeds nodded, although there wasn't a breath of breeze, and whispered to her, "Psyche, sweet Psyche, harrowed by great trials as you are, do not pollute my clean waters with your death. There is a way through your troubles. The sheep here are wild and violent, guarded by the most ferocious ram whose horns could tear you open like a ripe fruit. You see them grazing there, under that plane tree on the farther bank? To approach them now would mean a swift and painful death, but if you lie down to sleep, by evening they will have moved to new pastures, and you will be able to swim across to the trees, where you will find tangles of golden wool clinging to its lower branches." That night, an enraged and baffled Aphrodite cast the golden wool aside and insisted that Psyche descend to the underworld to beg a sample of beauty cream from Persephone. Since she had thought of little else but death, since Eros had left her, the poor girl consented willingly and followed Aphrodite's directions to Hades, where she fully intended to stay and see out a miserable, lonely, and loveless eternity.